or less. It didn't matter, because there were more than enough to kill him. And Bean. Tarragon had lost the other boy in the last break. Wildroot was a good 3 hours back the way he'd come. Tarragon had felt certain that the Prince's Seed Heralds would have given up before now.
Come out, wherever you are!
Bean! Bean!
Fighting his fear, Tarragon moved into the open. The hunters were 20 yards away, following a path that led through the trees, only partially visible.
Bean!
Here, Tarragon!
Where? I can't see you!
Ahead of you! Follow my voice!
If you talk any louder, everyone in the forest is going to be able to find the way to you!
I'm sorry.
Tarragon followed the voice. A glance over his shoulder showed him that the hunting party was still heading away from them. When he turned back around, he almost stumbled over Bean. The boy lay in the brush below him. He was 3 years younger than Tarragon, but had the same dark hair and pale aquiline features that marked him as being from the same tree. He was dressed as Tarragon was, in homespun breeches and a thick shirt, with a patchwork coat hanging down to mid-thigh. His deerskin boots still carried the smell of the stable on them, and it was a wonder the hunters couldn't track them by that alone. An arrow jutted out of Bean's belly.
In the blessed name of Loke, the Life-Giver!
Tarragon opened the fertility pouch at his throat, working the drawstrings until he could pour out a pinch of the seeds inside. His prayer was by rote. He couldn't depend on himself to try anything of his own. He blew the seeds out, ending the prayer.
Tarragon, I'm afraid that Loke will not be given life tonight. Should he show up, I fear it would be only to take one. They've killed me, my friend.
Tarragon checked on the progress of the hunters, wondering if the sound of Bean's cough had traveled far enough to reach them. However, the lantern lights didn't change directions.
Help me, Tarragon. I'm frightened and getting so cold.
I'm here, Bean.
Tarragon held the other boy's hand tightly. He thought he could already feel Bean's flesh growing colder. The boy held on with a grip that threatened his circulation.
Don't leave me.
I won't.
Tarragon knew he was lying. If the hunters came for him before Bean died, he had to leave. Cardamom and the others who'd been loyal to his father needed to know what he now knew. In the distance, the hunters had taken on movement again. A single man led them back the way they'd come, holding a lantern aloft.
They're gone, Pepper.
Couldn't be. Two saplings like that. There isn't any way they could vanish.
That by Tarragon. Now he's got one serious version of the gift. What if there's more neither his father nor him bothered to mention to us about his gift?
A bolt between his eyes. That would show you all you need to know about him.
Hey! There's blood here!
Tarragon turned back to the younger boy.
Bean! I've got to...
Bean's sightless eyes stared up at the moon.
Now we got one of the bastards. I knew it. Now which way is the blood going?
Tarragon released his friend's limp hand and leaned down to press lips to his forehead.
Sleep well, friend Bean. I shall sow for 3 years in your honor, and my firstborn shall be named for you. I'm sorry. I must leave you.
He closed the dead boy's eyelids and pushed himself up. Ice from the branches fell around him, stirred by his movements.
He's over there!
For a time, Tarragon ran without direction, aware that he was making plenty of noise for his pursuers to hear. He was counting on his speed to work against them, though, because as he picked up the pace, they ran as well to keep up with him. When they did, they made noise that masked his own. His breath burned in his chest as he lunged between trees. A quarrel shot by his head and embedded itself in the bole of an oak less than 2 feet from his face. He reversed, spinning across the frost-laden ground, then made for a thick patch of brush. Tarragon guessed that pistols and rifles had been forbidden after the first barrage. They made too much noise, and the woods might have been filled with poachers encroaching on Celtic lands. Those men took their lives into their own hands when they encroached in search of the Tangler vines. They wouldn't hesitate to try to kill Pepper and the whole group of Seed Heralds. Tarragon's foot caught on a dead branch as he raced into a clearing. 3 shadows hung before him. Tarragon recognized them between heartbeats. They were the raiders from New London Pepper had caught trying to get sap from Tangler vines almost 2 weeks earlier. Tarragon had been spying on the Seed Herald then, and had watched the brutal executions of the men. He'd had nightmares about it for days afterward. Moonlight pooled in a depression in the land before him. There, at its outermost corner, was a footprint. He knew the footprint was fresh. On his knees now, hypnotized by the promise the imprint held, he shoved his bare palm against the footprint, seeking his gift. There was a feeling like the tumblers of a lock dropping into place, and he knew more. The print had been made by a big man almost 3 hours earlier, surely no more than five. He and his party had gone west, southwest. The man had seen the butchered bodies hanging from the ropes, and he hadn't approved. For now, that was enough for Tarragon. Two quarrels hit the ground near his feet. He pushed his way through the hanging bodies, hoping the movement would create more problems for the archers. Tarragon ran, ignoring the pain in his side, and pushing himself past it. Only when he'd put 100 yards between himself and the clearing did he look back. A circle of lanterns had formed around the clearing. The men held their lights close, panning over the area. They'd seen the footprint as well. Tarragon watched Pepper, knowing that the other Seed Heralds would take their lead from him. Bathed in the glow from the lanterns, standing with smaller men, Pepper looked like one of the old gods come to life. He was almost an axe handle broad at the shoulders, with a lean physique. His long blonde hair hung down his back in a ponytail, and he wore a full beard and mustache. Tarragon sincerely hoped they would come back to take Bean home to the Thorpe, so his family could mourn for him properly. Marjoram would be deeply affected. Bean had been his only child, and the first of his generation to have been born of man. With his face to the west, Tarragon felt the connection strengthened between himself and the man who left the footprint. It was so intense, he felt that if he squinted his eyes just right, he might be able to see the line of power that ran between them. He didn't know what he would do when he found the man. He'd only intended to try to use the raiding party he thought was from New London as a means of persuading Pepper and the other Seed Heralds to break off pursuit. Now Tarragon wasn't so sure. The man had a destiny that was going to intersect with the future of Wildroot at the time of the great uprooting. Tarragon just knew it. Ryan woke after 4 hours of sleep. Natural light filled the cave. Even with the uninterrupted sleep, his body felt drained and stiff. Before opening his eye, he explored the cave with his other senses. There was a tang of something citrusy in the air that didn't belong to the pines outside the cave. He figured it was from one of the self-heats that had come with a dessert side. The blankets were smooth against his skin, and not as cool as they'd been during the night, but he was aware of the empty space where Christy had been.
Morning, lover.
Ryan looked around. Aside from Christy, there was no one else in the cave.
Morning. Where's everybody else?
Ryan pushed himself up from the floor, hurting in almost every muscle and joint. The battle yesterday and the hike in the cold all night had taken its toll.
Jack's hunting. He thought he saw some deer tracks during his rounds this morning. Mildred went with him.
Fresh meat would be good, if we have the time.
JB stood last watch this morning. He didn't see anything.
Where are him and Doc?
Trying to get their bearings. JB's got his sextant, and Doc's looking for signposts.
Come up with anything?
JB says England, or at least Western Europe.
What time is it?
A half hour after dawn. Maybe a little more. Why? There's something you need to do?
Just look things over a little. See what needs doing.
Then maybe it can wait a while? I haven't told you about my surprise yet.
Surprise?
Christy took the lead through the fissure at the back of the cave.
I kept feeling like there was more moisture inside the cave than there should have been, even taking the frost and wet weather into account. So I took a peek through here.
Ryan followed her, trailing a free hand along the rough sides of the fissure. It was a tight fit with his broad shoulders. There was a gradual downgrade. Christy carried a torch, and the flickering flame nibbled at the fissure sides above them. Ryan couldn't tell how far up it went. He lost sight of it in the encroaching darkness. Less than 20 yards farther in, Christy had room to step aside.
Well, what do you think?
The cavern was close to 30 feet across and almost circular. A hole in the roof, 40 feet up, let in a weak cone of light that mostly stayed on one of the limestone walls and showed the various strata that indicated erosion. In its center was a natural cistern